Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Denise Tunnell, and joining me tonight is makeup artist with film and television, Lena Anderson, as well as Marietta Carter Narcisse, but we're waiting for Marietta to get on the line. But how are you, Lena?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm better now that you were able to get in. I don't know what the problem was. That's never happened where the guest couldn't call in.
Yeah. Well, I tried three times. Fourth time was a charm, so, you know. Technology.
Exactly, technology. So we are waiting for Marietta to call in, but in the meantime, if you would like to call in or to leave a comment or ask a question, you can dial our dial-in number, which is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. And again, if you have a comment or a question or would like to speak to our guest, please, once you are connected on the phone line, please just push the number 1, and then I'll know that you are wanting to speak. So tonight we're talking all about organization and packing your kits for domestic and international travel. So domestic, whether you're going state to state or traveling to another city within the state that you're in, it's important to know how to pack your kit. But especially when you're traveling, especially by plane from state to state or when you're traveling internationally, this show is going to be really important for those two things there. So, again, we're still waiting on Marietta Carter Narcisse because she has, a very important perspective on that international travel and international packing, especially for being a makeup artist and being able to, you know, traveling to different countries and not necessarily having the same conveniences that you may have here in the States as far as having a friend or Nigel's or something like that. So she can speak to that. So I definitely want her to get her on the line to talk about that. But let's just start, Lena, the conversation amongst ourselves. Basically, what does a basic makeup kit look like? Like, what's in a basic makeup kit?
Well, you know, you're correct. Well, first and foremost, skincare. Let's start there.
Yes.
So skincare, you know, you make sure you have your, you know, your eye makeup removers and some makeup wipes and your moisturizers and, you know, a witch hazel. Definitely a shave kit for your men and some tin skin for aftercare. Corrector, concealer, your foundations, eyeshadows, eyeliners, lashes, mascara. Brow colors. With brow colors, I think if you're first starting out, you don't have to have brow pencils or brow gels, the brow pot, the brow powder. Like, use your eyeshadows.
Right.
Right. Use your eyeshadows because they're all the same colors that come in eyeshadows. So before you buy every brow contraption in the world, you know, you can just use your brow, you know, your eyeshadows, and that's really what I use. I use eyeshadows for my brow colors, and then I have pencils on hand for those who prefer a pencil. Your blushes,
right.
Your lip colors, and your lip liners, and you know, multi-use products as well. You know, try to get as many multi-use products as you can. You know, if you can't get that good old gel eyeliner, if you can't get that good gel eyeliner real quick, go old school. What do we used to do? I'm still doing water with some black eyeshadow. There you go.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, black eyeliner.
But especially if you know you're doing, let's just say, a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say it's going to be in not necessarily a hotel suite, but a hotel room, you know, in which you don't really have a lot of space. So to sit there and take, you know, 5 or 6 different brow products in 3 and 4 different colors, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You've got about 18 to 20 products. So you have to think about, you know, narrowing everything down. So if you're on a hair and makeup trailer and you're working on a film, a television show, it's easy to take all of that stuff.
Exactly. But like, I did a wedding yesterday and I was only in charge of the bridesmaids. I didn't take every type of foundation that I own and every 5 different moisturizers and 16 different palettes. It's like, I took a Nutra palette. I took 1 big lip palette.
Right.
I took my Bobbi Brown cream palette, foundation palette, because I can make that as thin as I want or I can build it up as I want. You know, basic loose powder.
Right.
Black eyeliner, everybody got the same lash, and that was about it.
Right.
Pack what you need for the job. Like, you don't take glitter eye balm when you're doing a bride. Like, you're not using it, you know. But, you know, you want to condense down, especially if you don't know where you're going to be working. So you don't know if you're going to be in a hotel room, in a bathroom stall, you know, that corner of the club. Like,
absolutely.
You don't know what you're doing. So I think a lot of times, we're so busy trying to be prepared, like, well, I don't want to not take this in case they ask for it, but you got to learn how to be prepared without taking everything you own, even if that means take your essential things that you know you need for the job, and if you think you might need your glitter, take it, but leave it in the trunk. You know what I mean? You can always just feed yourself and run out to the car and get it if you need it. You know what I mean? But showing up on a job with 16 bags of stuff when you're doing 8 bridesmaids is so unnecessary.
Right,
you know.
Right. And you said something that's so important that I want you to speak to a little bit. You said pack for the job.
Pack for the job.
That is so important.
So
it's just like you said, if you're doing a wedding, there's no need to take your glitter. Absolutely.
Right. You don't need your special effects palette. Unless you're doing a theme wedding. Like, you know.
Exactly.
Honestly, you don't need the drag queen lashes unless that's what they requested. And even then, only take the number of lashes that you need. You don't have to take the whole crate and caboodle.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
I have a standard lash I use on brides. I'm not taking every style that I own. Like,
that's right. You don't have to give them a choice.
Right. just the most important day of their life. But you don't have to give them a choice.
Maybe the bride, but not the bridesmaids. You
right,
know what
no,
I mean?
The bridesmaids, no. Mm-mm. No, it's not.
But
it
not,
is not
but,
their
but,
day.
But, you know, all jokes aside, though, that's something that you can discuss in your consultation with the bride. You know,
exactly.
The types of lashes that, you know, that she likes, type of lashes that you think will suit her, you know, perfectly, and even the types of lashes that the bridesmaids should wear.
Right.
So all of that should be discussed beforehand. So on the day, you know exactly what you need.
Exactly. And even if you're doing something like, even as far as day playing on film and television, if I'm responsible for, you know, hiring the people who are doing waitress number four on that particular day, I send out an email specifically telling them what the look is, and I specifically tell them what not to bring. I don't need you taking 45 minutes to unload your car, get on a van, and try to come to where the extras are set up, because you have all this stuff that you don't need for a 1920s period film. Like, why are you bringing glitter? Why do we have blue lipstick? Why do we have lip tars? This is the 1920s or the 1940s, or it's a slave movie or whatever we're working on. So I specifically, I try to help you by telling you, don't bring all that. This is what you need for the day. Help me help you, you know. So it goes back to, and if you're not told, don't be afraid to ask. Like, you know, look, I just want to be sure that I'm bringing, you know, specifically what I need, you know, so
right.
Can you give me some insight for the job?
Right.
You know.
Right.
Absolutely. So
I
think that's also important as well, that if you're not told, ask. Don't be afraid to ask. You know what I mean? Don't be, because there's nothing worse than getting somewhere, having to unload your car to load it on something else, to get transported somewhere else and load it up a flight of stairs. You, why do that to yourself if you don't have to? You know, keep it simple.
Oof, you just made me tired. I'm serious, just thinking about that. I just got exhausted.
But
oh,
how many
goodness.
Times have we shown up? How many times have we set up to do background? And then where they have us set up is up three flights of stairs with no elevator. Like,
oh,
really?
Of course. Of course.
That's what you thought that
of
was
course.
A good idea? Okay.
And what do? We bring kits, heavy kits, 5 bags, I mean, all of this stuff. So
no,
even having this conversation, right, but even having this conversation tonight, it really makes me want to, you know, go back through my kit and look and, you know, thinking about what's in it, there really isn't much that I can pare down because I only have, like, one blush palette, you know, maybe two eyeshadow palettes, maybe. But I just try, it's, you know, when we're talking about packing for the job, like this particular job we're working on, it's a period period television show, rather, set in 1855. So, as you already know, there's not going to be that much makeup.
Mm-mm.
But
we ain't doing no
if anything, I
we, you know,
no.
We're not doing all that.
I mean, the only things that we may have to do to brow, try to kind of change the shape of it a little bit, you know, maybe lighten them up or something, but...
Yeah,
it's,
so they don't look so modest.
There ain't going to be no contouring or highlighting. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely not. So.
No, we're not even really
so what,
not
what
not
other
even
things?
Doing lipstick. You know?
No, exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It only depends on where it takes place. Like maybe if it's somewhere in the north, we're not necessarily doing maybe like a lipstick, but maybe some ladies' lips were actually stained, you know what I mean? So you may want to make them a little pinker or something like that. So like a sheer lip tint or something like that is necessary. But what other things are in a basic kit? Because when I think about a basic kit, I think about having eye drops, something people don't necessarily think about. You know, I think about having a bag with different types of eye drops, contact lens solution, things like that. Nothing that's going to break your back, but just a small, simple bag with a few of those types of items in it. So that's something that I like to keep in my kit. And I'm asking this question to lead us up to what we're really going to be talking about tonight. So that's why I wanted to start off with what's in a basic kit, because I think this is going to make a lot of sense a little later on when we start talking about packing and things like that.
Well, I keep the same items. I keep anything that makes, you know, you comfortable, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So like you said, your eye drops, I'm a contact lens wearer, so I always have contact lens drops on myself, you know, Dinty Picks, your Q-tips, anything that can take you from grooming into makeup and then take you back down again to leave is what I keep in my kit. So that's makeup wipes. You know, all those things. And I actually keep my set bag packed like that. Like, those are standards in my set bag. So no matter where I am, if I have my set bag, I always have eye drops. I always have contact solution. I always have Dinty Picks. I always have, you know, tweezers or nail file or any of those things. you know, I'm going to start carrying aluminum foil around after the other day, you know, like,
and I'm joking.
I'm very serious.
No,
I'm going to start keeping aluminum foil.
When I saw that, I automatically thought about those little boxes that have like those smaller squares of aluminum foil.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about that,
mm-hmm.
and I said, you know what? I'm getting ready to start carrying this in my kit. Please share that story. I know this is off topic a little bit, but please share that story. You have got to share that story.
It's off topic, but on topic.
Yes.
Because it's another thing that you're adding to your kit, you know what I mean, and then
mm-hmm.
being prepared for the job. So like Denise said, we are working on a film that is taking place in the 1800s. And what did they not have in the 1800s? They did not have acrylic nails.
Gel nails.
And not only were they acrylic, they were acrylic in not quite a stiletto shape, but a soft stiletto oval to a point shape.
Right.
So once again, you know, they did not have acrylic, and they were light pink, but the kind of light pink that it's bright, like 1970s light pink. And she's playing
yes.
a slave. So can't send her out like that. So instantly. And this also, you know what? And also this goes in thinking quick on your feet. Because we knew what we had to do. We knew that we had to cut them down because we had to get them square, you know, as low. And she was a willing participant. So she was very open. She was like, no, do what you have to do. Because she wanted to be there. So we cut them down, and, you know, our options are either to cover them with skin illustrator and some dirt and try to hide as much as possible. But what I initially wanted to do is try to remove them as quickly as possible. So we took acetone, nail polish with acetone, and I happened to have had a breakfast burrito for breakfast. And I still had the aluminum foil from my breakfast burrito. And so what we did is we soaked cotton pad, put the cotton pad on each nail individually, and wrapped each nail individually in aluminum foil. Once I did that, I went back and I took the nozzle off my alcohol, put it on the acetone bottle, and I actually squeezed acetone in each aluminum foil covered finger, and I let her soak while I covered up her tattoos and applied dirt everywhere else.
Right.
Long story short, we were able to then take the aluminum foil off, take a nail file, a couple swipes of the nail file, take all the acrylic off, and dirtied her up and sent her to set. So because of the breakfast burrito, we had aluminum foil. Otherwise, I would have been filing for an hour trying to get that light pink acrylic off her nails. So because of that, because I'm packing tonight, or I have packed, while I was packing, I'm like, I need to put some aluminum foil in my kit in case this happens again.
That's right.
So
absolutely.
You know, it's all rolled into being prepared for the job, taking what you need for the job, and if you don't have it, thinking quick on your feet so you can still do the job.
Yep.
You know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
because
yeah,
at that point,
sometimes.
Even if you didn't have that breakfast burrito, maybe you could have gotten somebody to bring some from catering, you know, to bring some over from catering so that we could have still done, you know, the same thing. But, yes, that was awesome, but it was funny all at the same time.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, I did. I think one time when I was cutting her nail down, I got kind of close to her skin. So, yeah, it was interesting because, you know, sometimes with those acrylic nails, just a regular nail clipper won't do. Sometimes you have to use a toenail clipper because some of them are really hard. So
mm-hmm.
that's something else to think about, keeping one of each in your kit as well. We have Marietta on the line, so I'm going to let her in.
Okay.
Hi, Marietta. How are you?
Hi. I apologize. Sorry about that.
Oh, no
sorry.
Problem. Not a problem. Marietta, we have Lena Anderson on the phone with us as well.
How are you?
Hi. Is it Raina?
Lena.
Hi, Lena. How are you?
I'm good.
Did you hear our story about the acrylic nails?
I got the tail part of it. I'm assuming that you didn't have foil, so you used the foil from your breakfast burrito.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the tail part of it, yeah.
Crazy situation. Crazy situation.
Do what you have to do.
That's
you
right.
Do what you have
That's
to
right.
Do. Exactly. Exactly.
So, Marietta, I started off by asking what's in a basic makeup kit? Like, what does a basic makeup kit look like? So we were just sharing some products from a basic makeup kit, and like I was explaining to Lena, I'm asking this question because it's going to lead into what we're about to talk about with, you know, with packing and things like that. So I was just kind of throwing a couple of things out there so people can kind of start thinking about how they would go about packing some of these items for travel.
And for my kit, I have two listers. I have one that's fully a men's grooming kit, and then I have my basic kit, which, you know, kind of encompasses everybody. So
right.
I broke it down by skincare, foundations, neutralizers, concealers, highlighters, bronzers, powders, blush, eyes, lips, treatments and serums, which kind of falls on the skincare, you know, body, and then any kind of special products, and then my tools, which are my brushes, all, you know, that stuff, and then my disposables and miscellaneous stuff.
Okay.
So I've got a very healthy list of stuff here. And then, you know, of course, my men's stuff is that it's specific for men. I'm not sure how you want me to
No, that's good.
Talk
that's
about
that's what I want you to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
I mean,
so we're just basically going over just. Okay, but see, you're already organized, so I know your kit is. Yeah, you and Lena both. I got the right two on the show. So.
You have what?
I said I have the right two people on the show tonight.
Because
you two and your organization. I mean, oh my God! All right. So, what are some important factors in packing and preparing yourself as a makeup artist for out of town travel? Like if you're traveling from, let's say, from Atlanta to, you know, L.A. or, you know, from Fort Lauderdale to New York. Like, what are some of the important factors in packing and preparing yourself? So not just packing your kit, but also yourself. You know, how do you prepare yourself and pack yourself for the job when you're traveling state to state?
Well, everything that I've done over the last 4 years has been out of state pretty much for me.
Right.
Out of state or out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
I did three things out of the country, and a few things in different states. So it all required that really heavy duty packing, and you know, unfortunately, you know, for some of them I didn't have any notice. Very very very
right.
Short windows, you know, like in less than a day and a half or in less than 24 hours to get on the plane to do a whole movie.
Let's set up this scenario. What happens if you get called to do, like Lena was speaking about doing a wedding earlier, what happens if you get called to do a wedding, let's just say, in L.A., and, you know, you've got a party of, you know, you have the bride, and then you have, let's just say, 7 or 8 bridesmaids. How do you go about packing for that?
What do you mean, me?
Yes, or any of you, either of you. You're just
You're going from what?
No, I'm just saying you're just going from whatever state you're in to California for this wedding. How do you go about packing?
Well, for me, my kit, I have a Zooka, and I also have a Saya bag. And both of those are, you know, carry-on friendly. If I didn't have one of those, and actually, to be honest with you, I would actually move my stuff to a carry-on hard-size suitcase. I love hard-size suitcases for packing. That way, if I got to the plane and they were to make me check my baggage, I always keep a lock on it. I could lock it up, and I'd be okay with going ahead and putting it on the plane, but I just make sure that it's in carry-on size, and I palette everything. So palette, one lip palette, a couple eyeshadow palettes, a blush palette that has enough color in it. It would be mostly palettes and as simplified and small as possible. And then, as like I said, as many multi-use products as possible, so I don't have to carry, you know, every product in the world, because I know I can also take this eyeshadow and do brows with it, or I can take this lipstick and do blush with it, or, you know, those types of things. That's how I personally pack for travel. That's when it comes to my makeup kit.
Right. Okay. And what about you, Marianne?
I don't carry on any makeup anymore. I'm too old for that crap. I just can't carry it on. It's just too heavy and too cumbersome. So the only thing I carry on are my brushes. I just say a prayer.
Yeah.
I hope it gets through safely, and it's not a deck of cards. When I first started in the industry and I was traveling all the time, I had, you know, the big heavy wooden cases.
Right.
And I used to love all that stuff, but since I've had a few injections in my shoulders, I just can't do it anymore. It becomes too heavy. It's too cumbersome for me. Then I got to look, you know, to try to get it overhead sometimes. It's too much of a strain for me now. So what I do is I have a Delsey hard suitcase with the locks, and it's great because it locks on the top, bottom, and the front, and I pat it really well. And I figured out to put my stuff in there so that it's sectioned and tight in there. And that's how I do it. That's how I do it now, because I have a systematic way of how I pack the stuff. So because I don't depot stuff, because I lost too many things. I realized depotting is great if you're putting it in your car and you're driving from place to place. But when you have to send it to a conveyor belt, I find that I've lost several of my really great bronzers and eyeshadows that way. So I realized that all my palettes, I put, like I have Makeup Forever, I have my stuff packed in Makeup Forever palettes. So I have sponge cutouts. So I put sponge cutouts over my shadows.
Oh, gotcha.
And then I tape the box so that nothing moves. And then I tape them down. And then for my loose, my single shadows or any kind of single product I have, I stack them together, one on top of the other, and I put them into a Ziploc bag. And then I tape the Ziploc bag. I roll it around and tape it so that nothing moves in there. And then I stack them, like two or three, into the big heavy-duty plastic zipper bags. So that nothing moves. And I always cushion
I was going to say, I read a blog post on Glossable that they shared a couple of tips about, carrying on makeup. And one thing they shared was, again, like you said, carry on brushes. That way you prevent any theft of your brushes. And then also to carry on your palettes, but using bubble wrap to kind of wrap your palettes and then carry on your palettes, you know, on your person or whatever carry-on bag that you have, so that, they're thinking that, you know, there's going to be a lot of damage if you leave your palettes in your suitcases. So what you're saying, Marietta, is that you keep everything in your suitcase, and basically the way you pack kind of prevents things from breaking, or at least you throw up a prayer and hope it does.
I've done pretty well with them, you know. The way I pack it, I figured out a way that works for me, and the way that I pack it, it gets there relatively safe. Even if I have a shadow on my palette, if I don't have enough shadows to fill, I actually find ways to put something in between those shadows so they don't move. And then I put a layer of sponge on top, And I find that they travel quite well. I don't have to worry about lipstick. My shadows are the only thing. My shadows and blushes and stuff, those are the only ones I worry about. My lipsticks are in view set. I have them in view. I melted them all down and put them in there, so they're very organized. And most of my stuff is actually, I pack my sections. I'm very methodical. So I go through skincare first and pack all my skincare and treatment stuff. And then I'll go through foundations, and I do it all in sections. And that's pretty much how I get everything in there the way I want to. Because most of the stuff that I'm packing for is usually a movie anyway, you know what I mean?
So right, right.
I pack it that way.
Right. This same blog also suggested carrying on like a quart-sized bag just as an emergency backup kit and throwing in like your moisturizers, you know, your atomizer spray, a mascara, lip gloss, you know, your travel size tissues and Q-tips and some type of, you know, color cream palette like Makeup Forever's Flash Palette or Le Maquillage's Professional Cream Palettes, and just kind of having like a really small mini basic kit that you can carry on with you and just like throw in your bag with you, so that for some reason if your suitcase doesn't arrive on time or whatever it is that you shipped, whatever doesn't arrive on time, or for some reason if you damage product, then you have a little something to possibly get the job done. Have you all ever done anything like that?
That's a great idea. I don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Anymore.
I don't do any of that stuff either. But I know.
I try to remember to put up an extra pair of underwear and stuff in my carry-on because when I got to Barbados last time, my clothes did not arrive. And I had a meeting early next morning. I had nothing, no shoes. I had nothing, absolutely nothing. So that was, you know, so I learned, and I always normally do, but, you know, sometimes you've got so much going on that you don't remember everything. You really don't.
Yeah, you don't.
But I also have learned that you have to be very careful with gate checking stuff because sometimes they try to force you to gate check your carry-on. And so I try to make sure that I have just my brushes, you know, I narrow it down. And, you know, and I travel with the tube, but I got to tell you, I don't like traveling with the tube because I find they ruin my brushes when I travel. I find that I like I prefer to use back rolls for my brushes when I travel.
Yep.
I find that my brushes hold better than the tubes.
Yeah.
And they hold
their shape much nicer.
Yeah, I'm finding that out. So I prefer to travel like that with my brush rolls. And I carry my brushes and I refuse to gate check them because like even when I was coming back from Vancouver recently, they wanted me to gate. I said, no, I cannot gate check because this is how I make my living. I'm not gate checking it. So you go find some place to put this in this thing because I'm not giving them up. I said, I have too many brushes. And some of my brushes are from 1985. So,
right.
You know, there's no way. There's no way you can get some of those brushes that I have again.
Right.
You know, and then when you go out the country, you have to create a manifest or a corne, you know.
Right.
To ship
right.
your stuff.
And I just wanted to go back 1 second before we talk about going out of the country. It's funny that you mentioned the brush tubes because I was just thinking of this earlier today. I kept telling myself I'm going to get more brush rolls because I don't like how the brush tubes, you know, they almost ruin your brushes almost. You know, your brushes are bent out of shape and if you're like me and kind of try to stuff too many in one tube, you can forget it. Like your hair is all over the place. So
I find that happens if your brushes are too tall or you try to stuff them. Because the only brushes that I've had to get ruined are brushes that are just like they're just too long. But like the majority of my brushes, like I've not had an issue with, but I don't ever stuff them either. So,
right.
And when I do my carry on, now of course if I have enough notice on a film, like one time I did travel out of town for a film, we had plenty of notice. So I shipped my stuff, and then it was insured by production, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. But when I pack and I do, and I'm not a carry on girl either. I have my carry on purse, and that's about it. But it's big enough to carry the whole world in it. But when I carry on, it's a rolling suitcase, and it's like the smallest pilot, whatever size they carry, that's what it is. It's like 19 inches. And so thus far, I've been lucky enough that it's small enough that I don't have an issue with getting up to the gate. And then they say, oh, you have to check your bag because we're out of room. Because first of all, I try to make sure I'm in zone mm-hmm. one. So I try to get on the plane for people. So we don't have that issue. So I'm trying to get in zone one to begin with. And then that way I'm not the one that you're trying to get to check their bag. But if for some reason I had to, the way I pack my bag, everything is padded. Even going around town, I have it. So my stuff, you know, is padded enough to where it won't break. I keep a lock on the suitcase. And if I needed to take something out, my purse, I could take my brush rolls out and throw them in my purse. If it just got to a point where there was no choice, I could take my brushes out and throw them in my purse. But like once again, first and foremost, I'm gonna make sure I'm in zone one, so I have plenty of cash over that space, and I won't have that issue.
Exactly. Right. Now you brought up a good point, which is something else that I took note of earlier today when I was thinking about all of this. Was that, you know, for us being in film and TV, if we're you know, traveling state to state or traveling internationally, definitely production is going to pick up the cost of shipping, you know, all of our stuff. But if you're traveling from Fort Lauderdale to L.A. and you're doing a wedding, you know, that tab is on you. But just keep mm-hmm. in mind that all of those types of fees, you can write them off.
Mm-hmm.
So don't necessarily trip about, you know, having to ship something. Because the thing is, you can't take, depending on what you're packing, you can't take it all with you. So some things you will have to ship. But just keep in mind, some of those fees, you can write it off during tax time. So just keep that in mind. It's a business expense.
Right. Absolutely.
It's a business expense.
It's too difficult to take it all with you. It really is. And when you're traveling for a film, it's just a whole different ball game, because they expect you to have, and so simple, you know, even traveling from here to Vancouver to work, you know, things that you take for granted that you can just run out to the beauty supply, to friends and Nigel's or any of them and get. I couldn't do that in Vancouver. Even when I wanted some Eve Pearl, products, mm-hmm. and I could even find a local place that carried what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the things that you take for granted, you know, could be quite difficult when you go out of the country. I know, even like I did two movies in Barbados and packing to go down to Barbados. I mean, I just had to really like create lists and make sure that I had everything that I could possibly think of, because to get it into the country, it has to clear customs. And, I mean, there's so much more you have to go through. So you really have to put a lot of thought into the packing so that you minimize having mm-hmm. to worry about those things, you know, when you get there. I mean, it requires a whole different level of thinking.
Right. So this basically moves us right into my next topic of just speaking on the specifics of packing for international travel. So I know, Marietta, this is your lane right here, because you've done it quite often. Like, talk about just that, you know, your kit. How do you pack that? You know, kind of some of the things you have to go through just to get your stuff into another country, but also personally, you know, this is where we really need to talk about how do you pack yourself? How do you prepare yourself? And I know you have a lot of tips on that, as far as, you know, your passport. And so it's like all of this advice that we've talked about before on other shows and just had personal conversations where we've talked about this, I try to put all of that into practice, even when just traveling to another country. I try to make sure, because I think I got this advice from you definitely having a copy of your passport in your luggage, you know, having copies of your passport in other places. So if you can just speak to that whole international travel and packing.
Well, first of all, I realize that most Americans don't have passports.
That's true.
Although that's off topic, it's still on topic. Yes, you're right.
But I try to tell people, stay abreast of your passport, because it takes time before you could get a passport easily. It takes time, mm-hmm. so the best time to get it is when you don't need it, so that, you know. But if you do need it, you have to make an appointment at the passport office to get an and in order to do that, you have to have a ticket. So it's like, you know, the chicken and the egg. You got to have the ticket for your destination so that you can get an emergency passport. So I keep my passport current. Again, that's.
But also, because isn't it like if your passport expires? So I think this happened to one of the actresses that I was working with earlier this year. If your passport is expiring within the next 6 months, but you're planning to travel before it expires, they won't let you travel?
There's a 6 month validity list, and you can go online and Google it. And it's a list of countries that, because I had to check it when I went to Dubai. There's a list of countries that whatever date your passport expires, it has to be within 6 months of you coming back into the U.S. So my passport expires in May of 2017. That was 7 months after I would come back in Dubai, so I was safe for Dubai. So, you know, but mm-hmm. if it was expiring in February, I would have had to renew my passport before I could go to Dubai, even though it really doesn't mm-hmm. expire until May.
Right.
So it's not with all countries, but you can just go online and look at the list, and there's a list of specific countries that fall under that rule. And then there's other countries that are like, you know, as long as it's not expired, we don't care, you know, like Canada.
Yeah.
but that is something that, you know, you do have to take in consideration, and most people don't know that, and they don't tell you that when you get your passport. It actually was the only reason why I knew is because I mentioned to an actor, like, oh, I'm going to Dubai. And they're like, oh, well, make sure that, you know, you're within the 6 month mm-hmm. rule. And that's the only reason why I knew, you know what I mean? But I've had my passport for years and had never heard that before.
Right.
Was not told that when
right.
I got my
yeah.
passport. And sure enough, I went
year.
On the list. Yeah. And sure enough, you know, I go on a list, and luckily Dubai was not, you know, was, but I can't remember if they were or weren't, but regardless, the date that I came back, I still had 7 months before my passport expired, so I was safe.
Gotcha.
You better be safe than sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
So that's step number one. Everybody get a passport.
Hello?
Right.
What was told to me when I did not have a passport was...
You don't want to keep that from working.
Well, a lot of people don't get the passport for whatever reason, but a lot of people I hear... when I have conversations, they're like, they never think they're going to go anywhere. They think it's so out of their reach,
right.
you know, and that's a little off topic. But what was told to me when I didn't have my passport was, what if you need your passport to get out the country? What if something happened and mm-hmm. the only way you could get out the country for safety reasons, and there was limited availability on the plane, is if you had a passport,
mm-hmm.
and I went and got my passport. Because I was not going to be stuck. If that was a determining factor, it was not going to be because I did not have a passport. So, you know, you just want to keep one, period,
so,
you know what I mean?
So you said you weren't going to be stuck in the country if Donald Trump became president, huh?
I did not say that. It was more along like I Am Legend. It was more like that scenario that was used.
Okay.
So you need a valid passport and production, if you're going out the country, production is supposed to take care of your visa and your work permit. So
right.
you need your passport because you have to send them a copy of your passport so they can work on your visa and work permit. Because you cannot work in another country unless you have permission to work.
A work visa.
You know, so you have to have a work visa and you have to have a work visa and permit to enter the country. So that's your second thing, and production pays In cases, in certain cases, like in Canada, I know, because they couldn't get to me in time, you pay up front when you go to collect your work permit, you pay up front, and then the production reimburse you.
Got it.
And packing, when you have enough time, you can ship. But if you don't have enough time, then you have to take everything with you. In my case, I had to take everything with me. And
internationally,
If you have enough time, you have to prepare a manifest or a corne, as they call it, and which means you have to list all your products, because you have to list everything that's in your packages, you know. So I always list everything as I'm packing. I take photos and I list everything. And so if I'm packing four boxes, box number one is four. And I list everything that's in box inventory, everything, because your manifest has to have the product, the quantity of the product, the country of origin, the purpose of the product, and how much it costs. And if it's electronic stuff where it's manufactured, because customs is not, they don't care about, they care about electronic stuff. They want to make sure that you don't bring electronic stuff to their country and sell it and make a profit and you don't pay taxes on it. That's really what it comes down to.
Right. Right.
So that's why you have to inventory everything. They want to know whatever you bring in, you're taking back out.
Taking the inventory is still good for you personally, just in case if products get damaged or something gets stolen or lost.
Yes, definitely.
That's good if you need to file a claim. So taking those pictures and just having that inventory is a great idea.
Well, I always, whenever I pack my suitcases, I take pictures of the inside of my suitcase before I close it, and I inventory everything in my suitcase. And then when I'm finished packing, I take pictures of all the suitcases that I check, because 3,000 black suitcases look alike.
Right.
But unless you can show them what your suitcase actually looks like, then you don't know what to file for. So I always, inside my suitcase, I put makeup artists. I travel with a typed up, like if I have four suitcases, I travel with eight typed up piece papers that says, and I just print eight copies, and it says, makeup artist, the suitcase belongs to makeup artist, and my name and my phone number. And I put it inside my suitcase so that when you open the suitcase, you can see it. I'm pretty anal when it comes to certain things. And so that when they open it, they know it's a makeup artist stuff, and because, you know, TSA goes through it, and sometimes they don't understand what they're looking at. So I put that there. And, you know, the reason that your stuff, if you're shipping it, production ships it early. If you don't have enough time to ship it, you have to take it with you. It's because you have to clear customs. When you go out of the country to work, you have to clear customs. And most productions, if the production's working out of the country, they have a customs broker. And your stuff is shipped to a customs broker. And that's why when you do your invoices go on the outside of the box, because they take the invoices from the outside of the box to look at the contents. If you ship trunks, you have to put your keys on the outside of the box because they're going to open your suitcase or your trunks.
Repeat that. I didn't hear the first part of what you said. When you ship trunks, what did you say?
If you ship in trunks that are locked, you have to put the keys outside.
Oh,
those Ziploc bags, you have to use those bags and put the manifest and the keys on the outside so that they can open it, because it has to clear customs.
Right.
And it has to clear customs before you ship it. But in my case, you know, when I went to Vancouver recently, I had to take everything with me. So I had four pieces of luggage. That was $360 right there. The only time that you could really, like, the only airline we know that you can get away with stuff is Virgin. If you're going coast to coast, So if I'm going from here in Florida to the West Coast, I can take up to 10 pieces of luggage, 50 pounds each, $25 each.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, any other airline, like Spirit Airlines, is 40 pounds. They don't allow you 50 pounds. It's only 40 pounds on Spirit Airlines. All of the airlines is 50 pounds. So it's best when you're packing to have a suitcase, have a, like one of those portable so that you can estimate, guesstimate. You want to make sure you get it under 50 pounds. It's not going to make you take it out. And you want to get, because the first luggage is 25, then the second is 35, and then the third is like 125. I mean, it gets very, very costly. If you're going international or first class, what, you allow three pieces? If I'm going international first class, I'm allowed three pieces, 70 pounds each. So you have to check
right.
with the airlines to see what you're allowed.
Right.
So I always try to make sure that I pack my stuff in a way that so that I know exactly what it is, so that if anything happens, I know I can claim what I can claim and stuff. And again, that's why I inventory everything and I photograph everything. And then when I do my clothes, depends on what the I've learned it doesn't matter where you're going, you should always pack that you can layer, because the weather
right.
sometimes can be so unpredictable. So
right.
like going to Vancouver, I took a lot of things that I could layer, but the way I pack, I must wash everything first and put everything away. I have to. I put everything away. I fold everything. I put it all away. And then I take out my suitcases, and then I pack in categories. I go through, and I'm going to take pants. I pack. I look for all my pants that I'm going to take, and I put them aside. I take my tops out. I take sweaters if I need to, or over things that I can throw over that I can layer. All my underwear, my shoes, I pack them all in categories so that I go through, in groups. So because I folded everything and everything is organized, I just open my drawer and I go, this, and this, boom. This, and this, boom. And that's how I pack. I've been packing like that for the last
100 years.
30 years, you know. And I used to pack professionally, so that's what I do. You know, and I do it for
gotcha.
Myself, and it's just a habit, and then I go through all my electronic stuff and any books that I need to take with me and any other personal stuff. So, I mean, that's kind of how I do it all the time.
Well, have you ever had a situation, when you pack internationally? I know you said your clothes didn't show up in Barbados. What about, have you ever packed where your makeup didn't show up?
Well, no, I remember going to Egypt and working on Denzel, and I packed, I was in New York for 6 months, but I lived in California, but I packed everything I could possibly think of to take to Egypt except stipple sponges, and I needed stipple sponges to do different drugs with Denzel's beard. And I was like, golly, what happened to my stipple sponges? I really thought I'd do some, but I totally forgot.
Marianne, how did you forget that?
I don't even know how I did. And I was working. We didn't even have a trailer. You can't even consider what we were working in a trailer. It was just me and Denzel. It was a caravan. And I am sure that this was probably built when Noah was building the ark. This thing was so old. But I know that, the stipple sponge is nothing but an air conditioned filter. And so I had Denzel reach up into the air condition, and we pulled out the filter, and I cut a hole in this man's caravan filter. And I had antibacterial shampoo with me, and I washed the living daylights out of it and used it to stipple his beard. And then when I was done, I stuck it back into the hole that we'd taken it out. And every time I got in the sun, I looked at Denzel, we busted out laughing because we didn't even believe that.
All right, so that, Lena, I think she topped your aluminum foil story.
Whew. Well, that's an international story. I think I saw one for America.
Yeah.
I I could not believe I did that. I was like, you know what, I got to find something that's going to work, because I had nothing in me to stipple his
ears. But you worked it out.
And I thought to myself, you know, that poor owner of this caravan, he's going to notice that there's a big old hole that was cut in his tongue. That was so stupid. Like, you know what? It's like, you know, sometimes you just have to improvise. And then
yeah. What tips, if you had a few tips to share about organizing your kits, what would they be?
I think narrowing it down, you know, making like Leah said, you know, using products that you can get double mileage from.
Yeah,
yes.
Definitely multi-use products. You know, and again, you know, when you are packing, you know, pack for that job, you know, and
right.
Don't pack a bunch of extra and just pack what you need for the job. Just keep it simple. Like, I think sometimes we get so hooked up on the brand of the product and not what the product does.
Mm-hmm.
If you really look at what the product is and what you needed to do, you can use it for more than one thing.
Right.
I got to say sometimes no matter how much you try to narrow the product down, when you have an actress and you don't know what that actress is going to like, it is so challenging. Let me tell you that no matter how much stuff I narrowed down and try to figure it out and try to put myself around what this actress was going to like, I still forgot crucial things here that I needed.
But do you find that if you have an actress that is that particular, they love Armani Foundation, they're either going to bring their own bottle because that's the only thing they want to use, or production is going to pay for it anyway. Like, if you didn't have it, you can order it through production because that's what the actress wants. Like,
You know what happened when you're doing last minute situations sometimes. Because again, I've been blessed with going into productions that already to do projects that are already in production, you go in and it's like a guessing game. And even when you think you've got it all down pat, and then they call for something that you just don't have.
Right.
And you really don't have time to go get it, or production to get it, or it's not available there. That gets real tricky, and I think that's been my challenge. You know, and then trying to substitute. You try to substitute sometimes, and they're like, no, I want that. And it's like, well, you know, if I had known about 2 weeks ago that I was coming here and we had enough time, you would have gotten that.
Right.
You know? I mean, it's that kind of stuff sometimes. And it's like, you know, it's like I say a prayer and do the best I could, you know?
Right. But I think like, maybe, I guess, Lena, maybe what you're more speaking to would be something like those jobs if you're just going, you know, traveling to do a wedding or something like that. I think it's easier to pare down and, you know, and kind of, you know, use certain products for more than one thing. But I think when you're doing film and TV, you almost have to take everything. Well, not you don't have to, but feel like you almost have to take everything that you own, because it does get tricky, especially like you said, when you're working in Vancouver and you don't have the friends and the Nigels and places like that, and it's hard to find certain items that, you know, you might want and that the actress is used to. And if she's used to a certain thing, but there's just nothing there locally that will, you know, please her.
Right.
So what do you do?
Well, when I say pare down, because I've traveled for a movie before. So when I say pare down, I'm not talking about two lipsticks and a brush. Like, I have my standards, my Viseart palette, my Bobbi Brown foundation palette. I have that. But once again, if the actress wants Armani foundation, I don't have Armani foundation in my kit. So either way, we got to figure it out, because whether I brought my whole kit or not, I don't have that foundation in my kit. So, you know, my standards are what we use in film and television anyway. You know what I mean? I'm not bringing the newest trendy Naked 23 palette. I'm bringing the Viseart palette that every makeup artist in film and television owns. You know?
Right.
So I'm bringing, but all my standards that I use anyway.
But I think that's easier when you're in the States.
Right, that's what I was about to say. When you're in the U.S., because you know you can run out to a department store, or you can get it within a day, but when you got to ship it to go to customs and stuff, oh, my God, what an – because – and then if I have to – when you have to overnight it, then the price becomes so much more than the product sometimes.
Than the product,
So the logistics of some things, when especially when these productions that don't really have a whole lot of money, it's like, what's the next best thing? What can I use? And, you know, I got to tell you, I stretch my imagination with this one. You hear me? the last project, I just stretch my imagination, and I go, you know what? I just don't have it. It came down to, I just don't have it, and I don't think you're going to get it.
Right.
That's what it came down to. I mean, no matter how I tried, because it just wasn't practical. So, it just wasn't practical. It's like, no, what? That's not happening. There's only so much I can do. And so I did the best I could. Wasn't necessarily a happy moment, but I did the best I could. traveling with product, it like when I coming back, like going, I didn't have to worry about creating the list for production or anything. But coming back to save myself, you know, trying to unpack at customs in Canada, I pretty much shipped home one box. So I took all the weighty stuff, but then, you know, I looked at brush cleaning, I looked at a bunch of stuff, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not even shipping that stuff back. It's just going to stay here in Canada. I mean, even my chair, I was like, you know what? I'm not paying to ship that back. You want a chair here? I was done. I just couldn't.
Right.
I really couldn't bother with some of the stuff. I was like, no, it's going to stay there. It's not even worth it to ship it back here. I just shipped back my beer, and said, I put all my heavy boots into a box and things like that, and let, you know, and have production ship those back for me. You know, because, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, no, I can't be bothered. It's too much.
Right. That's actually how I've acquired a lot of things, because, you know, I've worked on films where the department heads are from L.A., and they're like, I'm not shipping back this alcohol. Here, you take it. Like, I'm not shipping back all these here's 3 gallons of acetone. I'm like, oh, okay, great.
That's very true, because you just, you're like, oh, my gosh, so to pack the stuff, no, it's not even worth it. And then it could only be shipped back, you know, by ground, and it's like, forget it. It's like, no, I'm not doing that. No, that's not going with me. Nope, that's not going. I gave away so much stuff. It becomes so much, and when you just want to pack to go home, and, you know, and when you work and wrap out a trailer the same night, and then you're leaving the next morning before the crack of dawn, oh, my God, packing is insane.
I can imagine.
I worked, and I had to clean out the trailer. I had to pack, you know, so I started packing my stuff at the beginning of the week, and then I had to balance out my suitcases, and so I had a hotel room filled with suitcases open, and, you know, juggling stuff, and then I was up at the crack of dawn, and then, you know, you clear U.S. Customs in Canada, but the way they sent me home, I cleared U.S. Customs in Canada, and then I came in on one airline, and then I had to take the shuttle from two terminals over to get to another airline, and then I had to go through security all over again, which was an absolute nightmare for me. You know, I mean, it was, and I didn't know that I was going to be doing that, because it wasn't it wasn't specified, so I had no idea. I was like, oh, my God, I thought I was traveling on one airline because my itinerary just mentioned one airline. It didn't say anything about two different airlines. So I couldn't even check in when I got to the airport because I kept trying to check in on one airline, and that's not the airline I was on.
That happened to my sister and I in London. Oh, my God. It was crazy. I had no idea where we were going.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. International travel can be a nightmare at times.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing I must say about international travel, you have to pack so that you can move your suitcases yourself.
Oh, my God, yes.
Because you're the one that's in, because you got to clear customs. So chances are you will not see any sky caps in there. You got to clear customs yourself. You got to pull your suitcases off that rack, so you better pack them so that you can manage them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. And also speaking of, you know, as far as customs is concerned, when on a personal level, because I have not traveled internationally for business, global entry, that's the best thing that you could do for yourself. That is your best friend. And it's $100. It's a step up from free TSA. And with global entry has to do with the customs process, but with it, you get the benefit of pre-TSA. And what makes it wonderful is when you're getting off the plane with the other 100 people that are on the Airbus with you and they're going to stand in line, you walk up to the kiosk, you scan your passport, you take a picture, you scan your fingerprints, they print you a slip, you walk through and give it to the guy, and you're on your way to pick up your baggage while everybody else is standing in line for customs. So, So it's worth $100. To do it, and it lasts for 5 years. And with that privilege, you do get pre-TSA. Pre-TSA is not always guaranteed. What I've learned from that, if I'm understanding correctly from my trip to Dubai, is international airlines may not necessarily honor pre-TSA, but if you're flying Delta, you know what I mean, it's an American airline, then the global entry will honor the pre-TSA. So unfortunately, I didn't get pre-TSA going to Dubai and coming back because I was actually on an international airline. But if I had flown Delta, I would have gotten the pre-TSA. So, but that's the best thing that you can do because then it speeds up the custom process like tremendously. It's like wonderful.
It really does.
That's a good tip. When you're working internationally, after you pick up your bags, especially if you're going to Canada, after you pick up your bags, then you have to go and pick up your work permit.
Mm.
And that takes a little bit of time. Because you have to pick up your work permit and you have to pay for your work permit. Now, I've worked in Canada a few times, but this was the first time that I had to go pay for my work permit myself. And I think it's because it was so last minute. But normally, when I've worked in Canada before, I never had to go pay for my work permit like that. My work production gave me my work permit up front, and my passport was stamped.
Gotcha. Oh, wow.
With a working visa. And my husband's passport was also stamped. And his passport said he has the freedom to travel, you know, back and forth because his wife is on a work permit. So that gave him clearance to travel back and forth without a problem. And one thing, if you're traveling with your kid while you're working, this is really important. If you're by yourself, you have to have a letter from the baby's mom or dad, whoever it is. You have to have a letter from the other parent. It's better if you have a letter that's notarized giving you permission to take the child out of the country. And that's very important to know because as not, you're going to run into problems trying to take your kid out of the country without permission from the other parent. Because it violates, and then if it's international, it's a whole other thing. If it's international, it violates the Hague something. It's a whole, but I know like going across to Canada, you have to have permission. Because they want to make sure you're not kidnapping the child.
See, that's what's so important about this show tonight, because you know how you see people that still say, you know, half passport will travel. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. it takes more than just a passport to travel. As we, you know what I'm saying? It takes so much more, and there's so much to think about. And that's why I was asking the questions, like, you know, specifics about packing and traveling, not just professionally, but personally as well. Because you can have it all together on a professional side. You can have all your kit packed and all this and that, but on the personal side, you may not have your stuff together where you may not even be able to get into the country.
Exactly. And so it is those little things, that knowing things about the 6-month validity route, simple rules, things like making sure you have a converter so you can plug up your electronics when you get to that country.
That was my next point. Yes.
That you have to think about when you leave the country. You know?
I burnt up several curling irons in Paris. burnt to a crisp. I have a whole kit that I take with me. Yep.
Yeah. You know, and even and that's the question. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. What you were going to say?
Oh, what I was going to say was really quickly that blog post that I've been referring to all night. One of the things it says is before you pack, ask yourself these 3 questions: Who is my client? What kind of makeup am I doing? What environment will I be working in? And they say, you know, be realistic. So when you're packing, you have to be realistic. But not only those 3 questions, but also where exactly am I working? Because it goes back to what you just said, Lena. I mean, I can just take my chargers for my phones and not be able to charge anything.
Exactly.
So you really have to do your research,
and also know to take your converter. And I learned this lesson because for some reason it did not dawn on me because I flew an international plane. The plugs were Qatar Air, which is it's Qatar, so it's UAE.
Mm-hmm.
So the plugs that were on the plane were UAE plugs. Well, my converter was in my suitcase that I checked. So, I can't plug up anything. But luckily, I have, once again, being prepared, I have an external battery that's like the 12,000 megahertz, and it takes you can charge your phone from it for 3 days before it dies.
Right.
So I made sure that stays with me. Like, that goes with me everywhere I go. So, you know, although I couldn't actually physically use the plane plug, I still was prepared because I had my external battery with me. But it never dawned on me to put my converter on the plane because I thought the plugs on the plane were going to be American.
Right.
That's a very
because you boarded the flight in America.
Right. So I thought the plugs were going to be American.
Yeah.
But no, they said no.
Right.
Also,
let me tell you.
There's one other thing, Denise, that you have to remember. To get an international package on your phone.
Yes. Yes. That's always a first for me. That's the first thing I do.
And seeing if yours, because with who I'm with, it's already included in my plan. So I was covered there.
Mm-hmm.
But you always want to call to double check. Like, is it covered or do I need to add a package on?
No.
Even if it is covered, make sure that, if the plan might be cheaper than what is actually included in the plan that you have.
Your plan, are you saying your plan to call internationally from the U.S.
No,
is already included,
my monthly plan that I pay for, international is already included in my plan.
Who are you with?
But what I'm saying, so international
carrier?
All the way around, she's a Sprint.
Huh?
No, she's
and
asking me who are you
T-Mobile.
With.
At Sprint.
Oh, okay, that's okay. Yeah, no, I'm an AT&T. You get an AT&T international package, which gouges you anyway. But my first thing is when I do my deals, I always try to get in my deal a local telephone.
No. Mhm.
I try to get a local telephone in my deal, and then what I do is I use Wi-Fi in the hotel and use WhatsApp to call.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, FaceTime on my computer or, Skype or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And stuff because I tell you, the international rates can kill you.
Yes. And also know, speaking of that,
but
also know what countries allow, like Dubai. In Dubai, Facebook isn't allowed. You can't do Facebook in Dubai. So even know those things. Skype.
Yeah, because,
you know,
you
know, certain countries won't allow you to have Skype. You know,
that's true,
so,
because you think about all the you think about all the different messenger apps who, you know, allow, you know, video calling and things like, or just calling in general, like you just said, if Facebook is not allowed, then you can't use Facebook Messenger.
You can't use Facebook, so I find WhatsApp so far has worked very well.
Well, you know, I have my favorite BBM, but either or, WhatsApp, BBM, and then there are, shut up, Lena, there are there are a few more out there that you can, that, you know,
like
that
WhatsApp,
you can choose from, whatever your preference. So
yeah,
it's just
yeah,
a good tip
to
make sure you have something like that.
As far as, you know, people do think international travel means you have a passport, and I'm good. Like, no, it takes, you got to research. You got to prep for a good week.
you do.
Know, make sure you have all your ducks in a row. You got a copy of your passport. You have a copy of your driver's license. Not only do you have a paper copy, you have it in Dropbox, just in case you lose the paper copy. You know, there's just a lot that goes into leaving the country. Now, once you get there, it's fantastic. You just have a great time. But prepping to leave the country, you have to have all your ducks in a row, because you don't know what your cell service is going to be. You don't know what is allowed. What you need to research all that stuff before you leave, while you're planning the trip.
But think about this, ladies, because
I highly recommend that when you're traveling internationally, especially to Europe, that you register with the State Department. That's important. I also find you should know where the closest U.S. Customs is, wherever you're going, wherever the closest U.S.
Embassy is.
Embassy, that's the word. Thank you.
Yeah.
Embassy
is.
The American Express office, because American Express tends to help you quite a bit. So knowing where the closest U.S., American Express and U.S. Embassy offices. Also, I find that you should also, if you're traveling and you have enough time, your bank can request the currency that you need so that you have some local currency.
And I know your exchange rate and know what your exchange rate is. Know what your exchange rate is. Yep.
And I keep I always request my per diem in the local currency, and I keep a bag that's strapped across me. I never leave I keep my passport on me. And I keep my stuff strapped across my body. Even when I'm working, I don't put stuff down. I keep my stuff strapped across me and everything. And I put, you know, I always make sure that what I'm doing, that somebody at home knows where I am and everything at all times.
Let me say this real quick, since you mentioned of the currency. Also, when you go to get your currency, you know, shop around, especially I'm at two different banks. One bank was trying to convince me to get the currency from them, and then when I researched my other bank, I found out it was way cheaper, and if they needed to buy it back, I was going to get more back. Also, you know, when you get there, find an exchange office when you get to where you're going, and also find out whether or not they take American dollars. Like in Dubai, when I ran out of dirham, I didn't have to rush off to an exchange office because they take dollars. They take dollars and you can swipe your card. You know what I mean? So know that going ahead of time. Are you just locked into using their local currency, or if you got in a bind, can you use your credit card? Can you use cash? You know.
Oh, not if
you
want to
know that
credit card.
Right.
Crucial. The credit card. You have to notify the bank that you're traveling out of the country.
Yes. Putting a travel alert on your card.
Yeah.
Because Bank of America will shut you down in a minute.
You would be embarrassed. You would be embarrassed
but
if you go to check out.
But listen, one other important thing about your cards, make sure if your bank for some strange reason by now have not switched you over to a card with the chip on it, if you're traveling to Europe, you have to make sure you have a chip.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yep, most definitely.
Yes.
That's right.
You have
to
have a
okay.
chip on that card. because that is all they use besides cash. You got to have a chip card.
Yep, you got to have a chip card, and you really got to make sure you notify your bank. That is like crucial.
Yeah.
And then one other thing, going back to I'll just say this really quickly. Going back to something Marietta mentioned earlier about having the international plan, that's still very important. Even if you're using Wi-Fi in the hotel and things like that, it's still very important to make sure you have that international plan, because sometimes Wi-Fi is not the greatest.
Yes, I know.
So you want to make sure you have that plan, because sometimes in some places, you know, on a good day you can get it, sometimes on a bad day you just can't. So just make sure you have that international plan just in case you need to call home or whatever the case may be.
Right.
You can get a Magic Jack. You can download Magic Jack, or you can get a Magic Jack plan. That works too. Because with Magic Jack, you can call me. Because we use Magic Jack all the time.
Okay.
You can call out in the country,
Duly noted.
Duly noted. And also know, and you know, when it comes to your money, I'm going to go back to currency real quick. You know, with all these wonderful apps we have, make sure you download a converter app. And whenever you're paying for something, you can plug those numbers in and make sure that what you're paying, especially if you're buying stuff that you can buy in America. Like, a lot of times people want to go shopping in another country. But if you're going to Zara, and Zara has the same stuff there that they have here, make sure you're not paying three times the price just because it's insane. Do convert. You know, make sure you know your conversion, so you know that when they say 150 dirham, it's actually only 12 American dollars. You're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. opposed to thinking, oh, I'm in Spain, I'm going to buy this, and then come to find out it's the same shirt that they have here in America, and you're paying three times the amount. So make sure you know your exchange rate, and especially if you're going to more local places like the souk, or like to their version of Canal Street, where you can negotiate prices.
Right.
Make sure you're aware of what you're paying, and when they give you the price, ask them, is that in whatever their currency is? Are you speaking dollars, or are you speaking dirhams, or whatever their currency is? Just make sure that you're not being a sucker as far as a tourist. And they're like, oh, they're a tourist. Let's just tell them anything. Like, be aware.
Right. No, we have 8 more minutes. So really, go ahead, Marietta.
Oh, gosh, I just had a blank. Sorry about that. Not only the in reference to, I was just adding to what she was just saying, not only local currency, I just lost my thought.
if it comes back, let us know.
I know what it is. You have to think about things that are imported into that country. The local stuff is going to be cheaper than what is imported into that country. Even just to go and even have a glass of wine, if the wine is imported, you're going to be paying a lot more. If you have Cavassier, it's going to be imported. You're going to pay a whole lot more. So things that are imported are going to cost you a whole lot more than local stuff.
Right.
I know in Egypt, I have shops at Cavassier, right? And I pay $80 for that, all right? In comparison to a local drink, that was $10. So you have to really pay attention to those things because it could get quite costly.
Right. Now, we have 5 minutes and 57 seconds left, so I just wanted to briefly ask you all, talk quickly about products that you actually use to organize. Is that you, Lena? Are you stumbling around?
No. Not me.
Talk about products that you use to organize in your kit or in your luggage when you're traveling or when you're packing.
Well, for me, I use a Zooka kit. Well, for travel, I have a Saya bag. But like I said, 9 out of 10, I'm putting it in a 19-inch hard suitcase so I can pack on both sides and lock it up and be done with it. As far as traveling from city to city, I have a Saya bag, which is basically a version of a Zuka bag. It comes with four clear pouches, and it's actually shaped like the Zuka backpack, and it's on wheels. And that's what I use for day checking and if I'm doing a road trip, like going back and forth to Savannah.
Right.
That's what I carry my stuff in.
Gotcha.
That's my quick answer.
Okay. What about you, Marietta? Any specifics that you use to pack and organize?
Well, I use the heavy duty, Ziploc bags from the zippered bags.
Yes.
I use a lot of those and a lot of Ziploc bags. Ziplocs are my favorite. I use a lot of those. My suitcases, I have two hot pink suitcases from Delsey. They're hard on the outside. They're very, very light. They're hard on the outside, and they have triple locks, and I love that. And I got those so that you wouldn't crush the makeup, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do. I don't travel. I don't really travel with anything smaller than that, than those two. Because, I don't carry on my makeup anymore.
Gotcha. Well, I want to thank you both for joining us tonight. I think this has been a great show, and I'm looking forward to hearing the playback. And hopefully, feel free to share the link to the show on your social media pages so that other people can hear this very important information. So, if you don't mind, give us your social media pages. I think, Lena, you pretty much just do Snapchat and Instagram.
Yes, that's
it. So tell people where they can find you.
I am the THE Glam Girl on both.
Okay.
The Glam Girl. So I'm on Snapchat and Instagram as that.
As the Glam Girl. And Marietta, where can we find you? I know you're a big Facebook fan.
I'm on Facebook and something, and my Twitter doesn't quite work as well. It's my name, Marietta Cardinale, hyphen with a hyphen.
All right. And of course, I am Denise Tennell on everything. That's Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, which I'm trying to get better at. You can find me on all of that at DeniseTunnell. And you can follow this show. And you can follow this show on Facebook. We are Beauty Talk Online Radio on Facebook. On Twitter, we are Beauty_Talk. And on Instagram, we're Beauty_Talk_Media. So thank you guys again for joining us tonight. Thank you all for listening to the show. Please go out and share this link to the show with your friends and your followers. Have a beautiful and blessed week, everybody.
You too.